Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse number. We're going to read 5 through 10. I'll read verse 5, you read verse 6 with me. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And let's pray. Father, please, as we look into your word, please bless it to our hearts tonight. Lord, you're the only one who can change a life. You're the only one that gives us strength and help. Please, as your children tonight, do what only you can do. And Lord, we ask this, that you may be glorified and honored in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My text is verse 9, but it says, For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. We're going to go through this tonight. Look at the last part of verse 10. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Whenever I sign someone's Bible, and I had the privilege of doing that, or whenever I sign a letter or something, I always put 2 Corinthians 12:9 at the bottom. When I read that verse, when I got saved, I just started crying, and I just said, wow. I felt like God was telling me, I was overwhelmed with all of my inaptitude, all of my inabilities, a public school reject, someone that was, nobody knew me, I wasn't trying to be known, I didn't go to school functions, I wasn't a recluse as much as I was just, beat up at school and all this stuff. I was just, I wanted God to use me. And I thought, how could God use someone like me? And that verse just spoke to my heart, and it helped me so much as a young Christian, and it seems to sum up my whole life. This truth is helpful because it goes against our logic. The name of the sermon tonight is God's Requirement of Weakness. There's a requirement for God's strength in the Bible. And you would think that it's like, you would think it's like money, you know, the more money you have, then the more money you can get, you know what I mean, as far as investment and stuff like that. God doesn't work that way. God's requirement for his strength is weakness. And this truth is helpful because it goes against our logic. We think that the stronger you are, the more you can do. The more abilities you have, the more usable you are. We just think the more you have, the better. And I'll come back to this, but God shows us how he works in the Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God shows us how he works as you read the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, there was never a sport that I excelled in. You know, I was on the wrestling team. We had all types of, you know, they say Michigan, Iowa, and Ohio are the, you know, high school wrestling places, you know, that really go at it. Even, you know, on the wrestling team, there was like 5 state wrestling champs. And they'd won state year after year. I was there for, you know, because I wanted to learn how to wrestle. But did I ever win a match? I think one. And the guy was underweight. And I think he was like a string bean that couldn't wrestle any other weight. And I had no success stories in sports, none of that, none of that. Definitely no trophies. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 25. I've loved this passage. There's several we're going to look at tonight, but watch this. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Minus what they're taught, how come the majority of what we would call Christians, there's not a lot of what you would call high-paying government people in church? You say they got a lot of authority and power. God says, look closely at the people I work with. You see your calling. I didn't say saved, although I wish more would get saved, but not a lot are getting saved. I'm talking millionaires, billionaires, and stuff like that up in Washington, D.C. He says, think about your calling, brethren. Look at who God uses. You see your calling, brethren. Not many wise men after the flesh. Not many mighty. It's wonderful to see somebody with a 12-year college degree, and they're a chemical engineer, or, you know, some nuclear physicist or something like that. You know, we can appreciate the education and things like that, but you don't see a lot of them in church. It's not because God's not willing to save them. Most of the time, it's because they don't see their need for God. Most of the time. In other words, what do they need church for? You know, they've got their millions, they've got their, you know, prestige, they've got the world. Here, look at verse number 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Verse 29 is the reason for it all, that no flesh should glory in his presence. How come God uses the most unlikely things, that no flesh glories? That no flesh glories. I was raised in a family where it was normal. Your high school years are spent preparing to go to college. You either need a college degree or a trade. That's what you spend your life preparing for. You either get a trade or you get a college degree, or you're not going to have a productive job that you can provide for your family for the rest of your life. I was raised with my dad getting a degree from U of M. My uncle is a engineer. Y'all remember Gott Coolers? He was the engineer for Gott Coolers. He was engineering, and my other uncle is a multimillionaire, very successful farmer down huge sections of land in Kansas. And I was raised around that. You prepared to do something with your life. You say, why are you talking about that? When I got saved, I had my whole life planned out, and I was going to go to college. I was going to get 3 degrees. I already knew. I was already had my drafting. I was already working on my welding, and then I was going to get my agriculture. I had everything all lined out. And then I got saved. That kind of blew everything. I spent my whole teen years preparing for that. And when you go to Bible college, when you decide to give your life to the Lord and you volunteer and say, Lord, here am I, use me. Dr. Lee Robertson used to say at Bible college, he used to say, welcome to Bible college every year. Welcome to the easiest place to quit on the face of the earth, because no family member supports that. If you quit Bible college, it's like, oh, that was just a phase you were in your life. Good. We're glad you're willing to get back to the real world. You understand? And that's the way most Bible college graduates are treated. I know in my family, it was not looked on real well. You're going to what? You're going to be a preacher? Haven't you been planning to be a welder and a farmer and all this? And it was down talked, but I wasn't like, you know, persecuted because of it. But I became... And I don't want to give you the false impression. I could tell the negativity that was coming. And I gave my life to the Lord. And as I look back on this, I was like, I had no other credentials, no success stories. And here you bring to God, Lord, here I am. I heard the statement, there's preachers quitting all over America. We need more. We need more. There's churches closing all over America. We need more. There's people that aren't going soul winning anymore. We need more soul winners. I heard that plea given, and I just thought, and I remember when I walked that aisle, I thought, God, could you use me? If you could use me, I'll give my life to you. But Lord, I haven't got much. And I didn't know that was God's requirement for using. I didn't know that. I didn't know 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I didn't know that the base things of the world and things which are despised has God chosen. That's what God chooses. And I didn't know that the things which are not, God uses to bring to naught the things that are. Here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the passage that we just read gives you a synopsis of the truth of the whole Bible. Of the whole Bible. And the truths that God tries to get us to see over and over again. I'll cover those with you, but go to Hebrews chapter 11 and let me just show you. Hebrews chapter 11, we're still in the New Testament. Normally, if you go to a college that's unaccredited, you're looked at as unsuccessful. Well, is the school, is it accredited? No, it's not. Well, then we don't care what kind of Bible college degree you have. Because to be successful in the world's eyes, you have to go to an accredited college. But have you ever thought of the accreditation process? People who can't teach people to read are telling you whether the school is viable or not. You know, over 50% of those graduating seniors in the public school system across America can't read. And yet those over that tell you whether you're accredited or not. If you can't do your job, what are you doing telling other people how to do their job? That's when I quit caring about accreditation and I started caring about who was running the school, what was being taught, all of that. Accreditation means nothing to me now. It means nothing. I'm more interested in the education and what's given. But that's the way the world thinks. If you go to a college that's not accredited, it's a waste of time. And I think that's wrong, but that's worldly thinking. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 32. Verse 34 is what I want to draw your attention to. But what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Watch, what do they do? Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. That would obviously be in reference to Daniel. Quenched the violence of fire. That would be the Hebrew children thrown into the fiery furnace. Escaped the edge of the sword. And then that phrase right there, out of weakness were made strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us God uses the weak things to confound the mighty. We started in 2 Corinthians tonight in chapter 12. And God says, when I am weak, then am I strong. And here in Hebrews chapter 11, we see out of weakness were made strong. Now let me give you some Bible examples. I know you know these, but look at how it's all through the Bible of what God uses. God called Abraham to humanly father his people Israel in Genesis 12. But if I read to you Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 7, kind of an easy verse to remember. Deuteronomy chapter 7, listen to this. God says, the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. God said, Abraham, do you know why I called you? Because you're the smallest. I can do more with less than I can with somebody with higher credentials. Why did God call Abraham? God tells why he called him. Think about this. Joseph was the rejected brother of his family, but his father's favorite, Genesis 37 to 50. Yet he was used as one of the greatest Old Testament pictures of Jesus Christ and was used to preserve God's people from starvation. Right? The 14-year famine that God allowed to come through Egypt there. Actually, that whole part of the world. That's another a sign of weakness that God used. Moses was the rejected leader of Egypt. That means, think about it, Moses was the rejected leader of the world. He stuttered, but he was God's choice as the greatest leader in the Bible, leading 3 million Jews in the wilderness for 40 years. I think most people call Moses the greatest leader in the Bible. Yet, he was the rejected leader of the world. Saul, how about this? In Judges 6 through 7, God did more with Gideon's 300 than with the 10,000 soldiers he started with. God says there's too many. Think about this. We don't think this way. You got too many soldiers. What, half need to go home? Oh, far more than half. What, far more than three quarters. What, an eighth? More than an eighth. Get them out of here. I can do more with 300 than I can with 10,000. 10,000, the story of Gideon. How about this? Saul was God's first choice as the first king of Israel because he was little in his own eyes. You say, how little? Now, we understand Saul became a castaway, but Saul was from the smallest family of the smallest tribe in Israel of Benjamin. And yet that was God's first choice as a king for Samuel 9:21. Think of David. David was considered the runt of all of Jesse's children. He was fit only to watch sheep. Even when the prophet came to anoint a king, they had to go get David, who was watching the sheep. He was the reject of his family, ruddy, all of that, those words that used in the Bible, but he was God's choice and the greatest king and the greatest warrior of Israel that God ever used. Second Chronicles 20. King Jehoshaphat prayed when the people began to sing and to praise the Lord. Then God set ambushments against the great multitude of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and God killed them all, and the people never had to fight. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In other words, God brought a great victory when the people did nothing. Obviously, they prayed. How about this? 2 Kings 19, 2 Chronicles 32, and Isaiah 37. King Hezekiah prays. It says, we know not what to do. He prayed, cries to heaven, and the angel of the Lord the next morning killed Sennacherib's army of 180,000 in a moment. And there was no fighting. God did it all through the prayers when they didn't know what to do. When they were at their weakest, God stepped in. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 16. I want to show you something. Help you think through. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 gives us a synopsis of all the stories, many stories in the Bible. Can God use somebody that has a high IQ? Sure He can. Can God use somebody, okay, can God use a rich Russell Anderson to help His work and further His work? Sure. But how come more millionaires aren't normally used? Because their money's their God. Russell Anderson's goal, if you could watch him pray for things, he'll say, Lord, they want that land for, Lord, I got this piece of land. He was telling me, he said, I could sell it for $120,000, but Lord, it's only valued on the market at $80,000. But Lord, that's $40,000 that if you help me sell that piece of land, I can give that $40,000 to this church over here. They need this money. You see how he's always thinking if I could. In other words, he wasn't saying, Lord, increase me. Lord, what you increase, I'll give away. Very few people think that way. Very few people think that way. How come? It'd be nice if, my goodness, if there was 10 or 12 Russell Andersons. There's only one. There's only one. Because most people think money is for me, and what I get, I take, and I keep. It's not for me to give away. Look at Matthew 16. Look at this lesson here. God teaches us. Watch in verse 8. It says, when Jesus perceived, He said unto them. Now, you got to watch the question, because I'm gonna draw two illustrations for you here from this. O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread. He's frustrated with the disciples. Then he says, verse 9, do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? So he asks the 12 disciples a question. He said, why are you scared if we don't have any food? Don't you remember that miracle? Notice verse 10, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? Look at verse 11. How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Now, think with me. Here's the question Jesus asked. He said, didn't you get what I was doing when I was feeding the multitudes? In John 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves. Think of this. 5,000 people are fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They take up 12 baskets. In Matthew 15, 32 to 39, and Mark chapter 8, 1 through 13, Jesus feeds 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fishes. A few is more than one. We don't know how many. What's the illustration? Jesus can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves, 4,000 people with 7 loaves. So if you put it on paper, you can see it. The more loaves Jesus had, the less people he could feed. 5,000 with 5 loaves, 4,000 with 7 loaves, and a few fishes. I have written in my Bible, when you go to the passage we just read, the less Jesus has, the more he can do. Jesus is trying to get them to think. Don't you remember when I did? Jesus did the miracle feeding of the multitudes twice. He said, don't you get it? The less I have, the more I can do. That's what I wrote in my Bible. I'm sure there's more truths you could pull out of that. But that shows me how God's requirement is weakness and little and small. Then God uses. Think with me, just a few more illustrations. Take your Bible and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll tell you this. Out of all the Jews, the Apostle Paul was the least likely to become the apostle to the Gentiles. You're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was the least of all the apostles, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. And he was the chiefest of sinners, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. The least of the apostles and the chiefest of sinners. And yet he was the most used in the New Testament. 13 books. I'll say it again, I love making the statement, the less God has, the more God can use you to do. The less God has. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God doesn't say that his strength is made perfect in your strength. God says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Your weakness. Your inabilities. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then and only then am I strong. When I'm weak. We're told to find our weaknesses and then conquer them. I'm not against that. We say, I want to be a strong Christian. I don't want to be a weak Christian, and I understand that. But the characters in the Bible are supposed to inspire us. Most of us, though, evaluate strong Christianity and weak Christianity based on the traits that are displayed that give people victory. I want to be like that one. I want to be like that one. I understand that, but rarely does our definition of strength ever include weakness. In the Bible, God says it does. According to this verse, God's looking for a bunch of weak Christians. What we think makes us strong Christians and what God says makes us strong are two totally different things. God tells us to examine ourselves, know our weaknesses, glory in them, and take pleasure in them. Why does God tell us this? We saw it in 1 Corinthians. We always use weakness, the word weakness, to describe negatives and hindrances. But God tells us our weakness is the secret of strength and success in the Bible. Our weakness. As our weakness grows, listen, so our strength can grow. It doesn't mean it grows, but it means it could. As I get weaker, I have the ability to get stronger. God does not strengthen us by taking our weaknesses and putting strength in its place. God doesn't remove my weaknesses and replace it with strength. God tells us that weakness and strength work side by side. When you're weak, God can work through you and be strong. God doesn't build you up to get you strong. God wants us to use our weakness to show how strong He is. Look, I love talking with people that worked at soul winning. But when I wanted to be a soul winner and I wanted to learn that, I wanted to memorize those verses, I hated school till I got saved. I hated reading until I got saved. I don't read fiction. If you read fiction, God bless you. But when I got saved, I wanted truth. I wanted to learn. There was a hunger that God puts inside of you. If you saw my English teacher, she was a sweet lady in high school. God bless her. But she was the one, I had D's in her class. She never hated me for it. But until I got saved and went to Bible college and heard my first Christian education thing on English, Mrs. Richter, I'll never forget it. I just sat there and wept. She's going over prepositions, you know. I'd never heard teaching like that. You need to learn English so you can read your Bible. English is important so you can read your Bible. I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. It wasn't rocket science. It was just basic. I'd never heard that. I started getting a hunger for that. And that's why if you saw me in high school, you'd think, wow, I don't think you're going to go to jail one day, but, you know, you'll who knows what you're going to be someday. honestly, God wants you to use your weaknesses to show how strong is. We read it in 1 Corinthians that no flesh should ever glory in His presence. God doesn't add His strength to my strength. God adds His strength to my weakness. So listen, the weaker you are, the more God can give you His strength. God gives us His word. God gives us prayer. God gives us a local New Testament church because God is not interested in your individual strength. God's interested in strengthening your relationship with Jesus. How much do you depend on Him? Do you ever take your weaknesses to God and say, Lord, do you ever ask God to use you? Please use me. But God, I got this flaw and I've got this flaw. And God already knows, but it's good for us to tell Him. God's not talking about, okay, the stronger your relationship is with Jesus, the more you love Him, and the more God's strength can flow through you, and the more God can use you. God's not talking about weaknesses, like backslidden Christians, or worldly Christians, or an apathetic, uncaring Christian. That's not weakness, that's sin. Don't label that. God's talking about your inabilities and all of your limitations and all of your shortcomings and the things you wish you had that you don't have. And when you look at somebody else, you think, wow, they're so talented and they're so gifted. And how come, God, you couldn't give me what they have? When you see your inabilities, God says, that's the weakness. If you'll bring to me, I can give you strength because of it. Instead of, I know that I'm not a soloist. I know I am an experienced singer, but I know what a soloist is. I don't have a soloist voice. I've just done a lot of singing. I know what it takes to do a good special. I know how to work with music groups. But there's a lot of people with a better voice than me. And I can tell when somebody has a soloist voice. I'm talking a soloist that can make it on their own, that doesn't need the quartet and all that stuff. I think the reason God's let me do what I've done is because I've been amazed at how weak I am. 11 music CDs, really? Leading a choir? With hearing that's so poor, they almost didn't let me in the Marine Corps. I'll never forget when they told me that. Your hearing's too damaged, son. It was right at the threshold. This is when I was 18 years old. And you lead a choir? I used to take that weakness to God. Say, God, you can't. Does everybody understand? You can't sing if you can't hear. You talk like this. You know, and that's, I'm not making fun of deaf people. I'm saying you can't sing if you're deaf. Every time I put my hearing aids, I say, God, thank you for the hearing aids. But it's a testimony of what God's done in my weakness. 11 music CDs? I'm not bragging. I'm saying I'm in awe. That shouldn't have happened. Do you know why that happened? That no flesh should glory in His presence. Heaven forbid anybody look at me as, oh, what a music guy. What? No, no, no. You don't understand. You don't know what God did. You don't know how God helped. You don't know what, that's a miracle. It's nothing short of a miracle. And I'd stand and sing in groups, and I remember being laughed at. You can't get your part. I remember, ha, 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 and all this. You direct a choir? Soprano, alto, tenor, and bass? Could I just testify that no flesh should glory in His presence? God says, I want the glory. So I'll gladly testify if I can say, do you know how weak I really was? Do you know what God used me to do? Christian, guess what happens? That's true for all of us. In your weakness, God can make you strong. If you'll give it to God. If you'll give it to God. If you're too strong in yourself, take your Bible and let's just look at a few more and then look at Isaiah chapter 66. If you're too strong in yourself, if you're too proud, if you're too independent, if you think you're too gifted and you don't see your need for God's strength, then guess what? You don't qualify for God's strength. You get to do it in your own strength. Look at Isaiah chapter 66. What a verse. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all, watch this, verse 2 ought to be marked in your Bible, and you ought to think of what gets God's attention. For all those things hath my hand made, and those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Your love for God and your love for the Bible determines how much God uses you. And watch this, the more you read the Bible, the more you're reminded of what you don't have. We're sinners. I said this morning, all God has to use is rusty bent nails and building a church for himself, a glorious church. Only God could do that. And God says, you know what gets my attention? He that sees he's nothing, who's poor and of a contrite, the word contrite means broken spirit, and trembles at my word, and trembles. I'll just ask the question, do you ever ask God to use you? Do you ever pray, Lord, please use my life. Please use me, God, in the lives of other people. Lord, use me before I die. Help me do something than just more than exist. Can you, would you please use me to make a difference in somebody's life? You say, you're a pastor. You're supposed to pray that. I was praying that before I was a pastor. I heard the testimonies of the revivals and the preachers. And I just used to think, boy, I could God ever use me? Would God ever use me? God will use anybody in here if you'll humble yourself. When we grow, we don't grow. We're not supposed to grow in strength and sufficiency. We're supposed to grow in grace, and that only happens when you humble yourself before the Lord because of your weakness. You ought to pray, Lord, show me my weaknesses so I can rely more on you, so you can give me more of your power. When you admit your weaknesses to God and that you can't make it by yourself, then God uses you and can make you strong. If you're here and your burdens are heavy and you feel like you're on your last leg, if you're wondering how to face tomorrow, if you're wishing you could wake up and find out that everything that's happened is just a dream, when your heart is breaking and you're just dreading the day, have you ever thought of applying for a divine aid? Guess what? If you're weak enough, you qualify for God's divine strength, if you were willing to admit you're weak enough. God's requirement for strength is weakness. God's looking for a bunch of weak Christians. When you don't know which way to go, God specializes in helping you know which way to go. When you don't know what to do, God specializes in helping you know what to do. In your weakness, God wants to help you and make you strong in Him. I'm so glad you don't have to be a strong Christian to be used of God. If you'll just yield what God gave you to the Lord, God can strengthen you and use you. If you'll just give it to the Lord. I remember when I was in the field, in the Marine Corps, it was an operation that was happening during Easter, you know. And the battalion chaplain, I'd just been saved a year. The battalion chaplain came to me and asked if I'd speak the next morning for Easter. I remember. I said yes. I'd never spoken before. I'd never preached before. I'd never given a Bible study before. But I'd heard how preachers would pray and ask God for His power and ask God to fill them. I'll never forget. I went out Saturday night. It would be on a Sunday morning, obviously, when I was speaking. I went out Saturday night, and I laid under a Jeep, and I prayed and I cried all night long. I was so bad at public speaking, so bad. You got to understand, in high school, I was beat up after class for being so bad. You say, how bad can you be? The teacher said, you got 10 minutes to give your report. I had no sense of time, kind of like now. No, I'm just kidding. Teacher said, okay, it was a class of students. Everybody's going to give their book report today. And today and tomorrow's book report day. And you have 10 minutes. Come up here and give your book report. So I go up there. I was the first one. I don't know why. My last name's Nash. That's the N's. That's the middle of the alphabet. I don't know why you don't start with the A's. But anyways, I went up there. And she didn't say how to give the book report. So I had the book, and I shouldn't have taken the book up there. It was, I think, one of J.R. Tolkien's books. I can't remember, Stupid Hobbit or something like that. And so as I'm looking at it, I'm reminded. So I just started looking at the chapters. I took all class period to give my book report. That's how come I got beat up after class. They were like, we couldn't give our youth. I got thumped really. I'll never forget that night when I was praying, and I remember this battalion chaplain asked me, would you give the Easter resurrection charge for the morning? That thing kept coming to my mind. I kept praying, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. God, I can't speak. I can't talk. Lord, what do you want me to say? The only thing I knew was soul winning. The only thing I knew. That morning, I'll never forget, Italian chaplain brought four platoons of men. Four platoons. I was expecting five or six guys. I didn't know it was, hey, y'all, get over there. I'll never forget, we were right by a lake, and the sun started coming up, and he said, you may begin. And I preached. And as I started making statements in the sermon, Jesus died for your sins. And Mary needed a Savior, just like all of us need a Savior. Jesus was dying for Mary. The battalion chaplain was Catholic, and I remember his countenance and two other officers going, all I knew was soul winning. At the end of, I preached for 20 minutes, three Marines got saved. That never happened before. That never happened. I remember leaving thinking, God, could you? I remember thinking, look what God did. I knew it wasn't me. I knew it wasn't any of my oratory. The Lord has let me preach now over 14,000 sermons thus far in my life and has given me some wonderful teachers and examples. Can I just testify tonight? God's been so good to me. God's been so good to me. And all of my weaknesses, God's been my strength. And I need God now more than I ever have. I still cry for help because God doesn't use strength. God uses weakness. And what scares me the most is when I start thinking I can do it. That scares me. Because God says, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. I don't want God to ever have to strong arm me and say, do it yourself. You think you're all that in a bag of chips? You're nothing without me. And you can accomplish nothing without me. If you're here tonight, and you have a burden, and you're weak with a broken heart. If you're sick, if you're lonely, God can make you strong. If I used Gail Ripplinger as an example, it took the thorn that God gave her. God let Satan buffet her so she could be laying in a bed and put 6,000 hours of collation into a book that would change America for the King James Bible, the New Age Bible versions book, Bibles of the New Age or whatever. 6,000 hours, she said, God afflicted me so I could be weak and do research that pastors can't do. What an amazing, I think she's one of the godliest ladies I've ever spoken with, ever had the time or privilege of speaking with. God can make you strong. Let's look at one last passage, and then I just want to look in the hymn book. Go to back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God's requirement for strength is weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's just read verse 8. I'll read it to you here. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Listen, I'm not for coming to church when you're sick and spreading flu and making people sick. But I do have this thought when I get sick. When I'm at my weakest point, I don't want to miss God's power. You say, why would you come to church? You're trying to make everybody sick? No, and nobody asks that when sick people are at Walmart. You know what I mean? Nobody sees anybody, you know, like this, and then go up to them and say, what'd you come to Walmart for? Are you trying to make everybody sick? At any rate, okay, now that I got that off my chest, can I just tell you, when I do get sick, and I'm so sick I can hardly move, I've always had this thought in my head. Is God wanting to use me now more than he ever has? And he had to get my flesh out of the way. Why would you come to church sick? Because I'd want God to use me. I don't just want to, well, I'm sick today. I guess I need to, you know, hey, Brother Billy, can you fill in? Hey, Brother Dog, you know. I don't think that way. I know there's common sense that comes with it. But when you get sick, have you ever thought God's trying to get you out of the way? So he can use you. God's trying to weaken your flesh so you can sense more spiritually what's going on. Do you ever look at any afflictions like that? I know when I'm weak, God can use me more. If I'm incapacitated, I understand. But if I can be here sick and weak, I want God to use me. Take your songbook now, and let's just look. This is in the hymn book. Watch this. Go to 293. 293 in your hymn book. Did you know if you get weak enough, God will use you? 293. I know that the hymn book is not equally inspired as the Bible, so don't ever think that. But I do think this, the songs in the hymn book there was a lot of thought and prayer that went into them. There was a lot of thought and prayer. Look at number 293. Just if you didn't know the song, if all you did was read the words, I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. What a song. What a song to hum during the week. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Child of weakness. That's one song. How about going to 286 now? Just go back a couple of pages. 286. If you've ever read the story of Charlotte Elliott, the one who wrote, Just As I Am, often depressed, bedridden, sick most of her life, went to a revival meeting, and as the preacher gave the invitation, she said, you mean just as I am, pressed, worthless to society, and sickly? You mean just as I am, I can come to Christ? And the preacher said, yes, just as you are. And God used a weak, sick, you could say mentally depressed person to write the most sung song in history. The most used is the song Just As I Am. If you didn't know the tune and you just read the words, Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. There's a verse, look at this one, it says this, Just As I Am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. This concept of God's requirement for strength is all through the Bible. His requirement for strength is weakness. And we sing about it in many of the hymns. It's a beautiful truth if you can get the truth from the Bible. God wants to give you strength and his power to those who are willing to admit that they're weak. And let's pray. Father, I thank you that no flesh should glory in your presence. And Lord, our greatest need...